Welcome in, and thanks for joining us for the latest edition of the Delaware Biblecast, a podcast ministry of Delaware Bible Church. As we've done in several other podcasts, we are sharing testimonies of God's grace from those within our church leadership and those within our church body. And today, we have a man who has previously served as an elder of our church. He's currently serving as a life group leader and a leader in our congregation, and he's also serving as a leader in our community through his medical profession and what he does for a living. And that is Dr. Matt Hintz. Matt, thanks for joining us again today.
Glad to be here.
So as Matt shares with us today, we're going to be just learning some about Matt and hearing his personal testimony and how the Lord has been working in his life. So Matt, it's likely that many who are listening to this podcast first met you a long time ago when you were an adolescent, either at Delaware Christian School or as you were a pastor's kid in our congregation here at DBC. So tell us what originally brought you and your family here to DBC.
Well, we came here when I was 12, and that's because my dad was asked to be the senior pastor. He had been pastoring a church, a smaller church up in Mount Gilead, which is about 45 minutes north of here. And so my sisters and I had been at Delaware Christian School, and they were familiar with Delaware Bible Church, was familiar with our family. And so I'd asked my dad to come and consider whether or not he would take over for Pastor Witt. Ultimately that happened. it was a process. My dad primarily, and my dad and mom were very content in the ministry that God had them in. But over time, it just seemed apparent that this was where God was leading them. And so we ended up coming here when I was in seventh grade. So that's how we got here.
So how long were you in DCS?
I started in kindergarten.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, interestingly, our small church bought a old school bus, mm-hmm. and then had a route that we started in Mount Gilead, and then it went through a lot of the small towns up to Delaware. And I think maybe at its height, I bet the bus picked up maybe 25 to 30 kids along the way.
The first DCS bus route.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how it started, with a van when I was in kindergarten, and it ended up with a bus. And that's how I got here for my first 6 years.
So it's you and your two sisters that came. Are they both older than you? Are you the youngest?
I have an older and a younger.
Older and a younger. You're in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. So you graduate from DCS. You head to Cedarville.
Yep.
After growing up, getting married to Almeda, what caused you then to decide to come back to DBC with your wife?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never really left.
Okay.
When I was at Cedarville, I largely attended churches that were in the area. Mm-hmm. But in the last year or two, I came home most weekends, because at that time I actually was teaching a Sunday school class, a college age class. So I was coming home for that. And I lived off campus my last year, so coming home gave me a chance to do laundry and all those
Perfect.
Kinds of
yeah.
things. So I never really felt like I was significantly away from Delaware Bible Church, and I always kind of considered it home. And then for medical school, I went to Ohio State, so I was close, mm-hmm. And then launched right into a career in medicine that was close by. I'm not sure that we were ever officially away or looked at other church options other than Delaware Bible.
Okay. So then what led to the decision to serve the Lord as a medical doctor?
Joe McDonald, who
really?
Many people know here, she was the high school science teacher at Delaware Christian when I was there. I think maybe like the majority of boys that grew up in the 80s Initially, I was convinced I was either going to be an astronaut or a fighter pilot. And, you know, my walls of my room were lined with posters of fighter jets and space shuttles.
It's a firefighter for me, so.
Yours
is a little cooler.
Yeah, but as I got to the end of high school and started thinking, man, what am I going to do with myself, for real? I remember one day, I always liked science, and, you know, God gifted me with the ability to learn and retain information well, and I was always a good student. And Mrs. McDonald at the time said to me, you know, you really seem to enjoy science, and you really seem to enjoy people and helping people. Have you ever thought about being a doctor? And honestly, I had never thought about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Never had it cross my mind. In fact, about the only thing that I can think of ever saying, people used to ask me all the time, well, are you going to be a pastor like your dad? And my response was always no. And not because I thought it was a bad thing, but just so anyway, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, that is something that maybe I would like to do. And so that kind of became the thought that as long as God continued to open doors that direction, that's what I was going to try to do. And that's
the Lord kept opening the doors.
Exactly. Yeah.
Notice though, he did not say that Joe told him how much school he'd have to go to be a doctor, right?
Yeah. I don't know whether I thought that through very much at the time.
So being a medical professional, though, has clearly allowed, the Lord has allowed you to have some unique opportunities to be able to share the love of Christ and your faith with others. I know in the previous podcast that you did regarding COVID-19 and sharing an update there, you said you had an opportunity to pray with some patients or let them know that you're praying for them. What ways has the Lord allowed you to use your profession to share the love of Christ with others who you serve?
Well, I think the best place to start answering that question is to say that I think this transcends the medical field. This just is what we should all do. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, I wake up every morning thinking this day and what is a part of my day is what God has called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not just a job that I'm going and clocking into because I need to put food on the table, or even because I enjoy it and it is interesting and provides, you know, it's a great mental exercise or whatever those things may be. But that this is a God-given task, opportunity, ministry. And I've told people that, even, you know, colleagues, that I've said, my job is not just a job, I consider it to be a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I look at it that way, then when I go to work, I see different opportunities that God puts in my place, whether that's conversations with coworkers, whether that's, you know, the way that I respond to stress and change and difficult patients or whatever it might be. The way that I respond to those things is an opportunity to share, to be a witness and a testimony and to share the love of Christ with people around me. So I think that that is probably the biggest thing. But as a result of that, then that does provide opportunities. You know, I had a conversation with a colleague one day who was really stressed about some of the changes in medicine and what mm-hmm. was happening and, oh, how was I managing this? And I, you know, I said to him, you know, I think part of the way that I manage it is because I realize that being a doctor is not who I am.
Hmm.
It's what I do.
It's good.
And he said, well, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, who I am is a follower of Jesus Christ. And I just happen to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these things can change and they're frustrating and they're difficult. But the thing that doesn't change is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, oh, I never thought of it like that. And it didn't go beyond that, but it was an opportunity to start building a bridge or hopefully an open door. And then, you know, my job gives me a lot of opportunity to have conversation with patients who are hurting and who are struggling. And, you know, the great thing is it's kind of like the counseling ministry in some ways. Mm-hmm. People are coming to you saying, help me.
Sure. Exactly. And
I have to be a little bit more careful in my role because people are off are primarily coming to me for medical help, but there are so many things that cross over into spiritual things. So, you know, as I have opportunity and patients will allow me, I will ask them questions about how much does faith or how much does an understanding of God or things play into your worldview or how you think, or and as those conversations sometimes unfold and patients will allow to have those conversations, I have opportunities to share that way too. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So you talked about being able to talk to your coworker about your personal relationship with Christ. Can you share with us your testimony and about how you came to Christ?
Sure. Well, you know, I obviously grew up in the church and was always at church, which was a good thing. And I truly believe that I was saved at about the age of 5 or 6 in a Sunday school class when at the end of the class, the teacher, you know, did one of these, everybody bow your heads. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pray to receive Jesus as your Savior, you know, raise your hand. And I stayed and talked with the teacher. And I believe I was sincere. I understood my need for a Savior at that point in time and that was truly the point at which I was saved. But like most people, you know, that at a young, who accept Christ at a young age, there's kind of an evolution of understanding what that means. And there was really a time in my life, especially in my teen years, where I was not openly rebellious, but I was certainly living for myself mm-hmm. rather than choosing to live for God and for His ways. And that manifested in many different ways in my life and resulted in some minorly poor decisions that mm-hmm. ultimately caused me to ask the questions, who am I really living for? And kind of at that point in time, rededicating my life to Christ and really choosing to follow Him.
So we've talked about the professional. We've talked about your personal relationship with the Lord. Let's just talk about Matt and his family and things that you enjoy in general then. Tell me about some of the things that you and your family and what you enjoy doing for fun.
Well, I'm glad you asked it in the context of family because mm-hmm. Really that is my fun and our fun is to be able to do things together as a family. I don't have currently a lot of personal hobbies or pastimes or things that I spend a lot of time doing, but our family does a lot of things together and we enjoy simple things like, you know, going for walks, going to different parks mm-hmm. where we can go for hikes, those types of things. We all enjoy music. So that's kind of fun because we will enjoy singing together or the girls play the piano and sometimes we'll get around the piano and sing together. Joy and I are taking guitar lessons together. So, cool. So that's kind of fun. And I would say maybe one of the other things is that we really enjoy travel. So mm-hmm. we have enjoyed a lot of fun vacations together, doing just fun trips, historical trips, seeing different sites, and those things have all been a lot of fun for us to do together.
So how did you and Almeida originally meet?
We met at Cedarville. Mm-hmm. We had mutual friends mm-hmm. primarily is how we initially met. I was at that time, maybe still am, but certainly at that time in my life, a little shy, hesitant, whatever it might have been. So it took a lot of convincing on Almeida's part, and I'm thankful that she stuck with me to convince me that she was interested in me. And I tell people, and I mean this in all sincerity, I was like, I'm not sure that someone like her would actually like somebody like me. I think I'm kind of, aiming for the fences here when I should be hoping to get the ball past second base or something. Fortunately, she was very, without being I don't know what word I'm looking for without being so apparent, but was just, she would put herself in the right places where I was. Mm-hmm. And after a while I said, this can't just be coincidence.
Yeah. She dropped hints without being out of line.
There we go. And so eventually I worked up the courage to see if she wanted to, spend some time together and go out, and that's how things...
Rest is history.
Exactly.
So, growing up here, around here, not just that, but is there ever a time in your life, your dad was pretty much a pastor for your whole life, hasn't he been? Or
yes. Yeah.
As until much as you can remember.
Yeah, until he retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, until now.
Yes, but I grew up a pastor's kid, and that was life.
So tell me about some of the significant spiritual mentors that you've had in your life, and what was it about them that left such a significant impact in your life?
Well, the obvious and easy one is my dad. Mm-hmm. We could spend a podcast or two talking about the influence of my dad in my life. And a lot of it was just his life and the things that I caught and weren't necessarily taught. Or wasn't necessarily taught, but a lot of it was teaching. I mean, my dad made it a point to sit down with me. I know I can think of through most of my high school years, we would get up in the morning and read the Bible together. And a lot of times it was Proverbs and we would just pray together. And he's always had a tremendous impact on my life. But other people that have influenced my life, my teen life, I would say, my biggest mentor and person that I looked up to was Dan Witt. Mm-hmm. Dan taught the high school Sunday school class that I was in, and how he put up with me, I'm not sure. I think
he had some practice with all those Witt boys.
Well, and you know, I think maybe there was a connection because he was a pastor's kid as well.
Yeah, true.
But Dan patiently guided me. That's what I guess that would be the best way of saying. Those who know Dan well know that he's just a very practical, type of person as far as faith goes too. He was somebody that I could relate to, but when I was a knucklehead, and would have been somebody that he probably wanted to take by the ear and throw out of his class a time or two, he really tried to show that he understood and was very patient, and I appreciated that. Then another mentor would be a man named Artie Parlin. Between high school and college, I took a year off and traveled with what's Encounter Revival Ministries. It was previously Life Action, it was Life Action. Then a branch came off of that called Encounter Revival Ministries. He was the leader of that ministry, and I learned from him what personal revival really was all about, and a daily examining of myself, a daily dying to myself, the idea of putting off sinful behaviors and putting on behaviors that that are in line, or they're Christ-like. So I learned a lot from him as well.
Mm-hmm. So one of the ministries that you serve in here as a church is as a life group leader. And I think that your group has several biblical and encouraging dynamics in it. And I would just like, if you wouldn't mind, for you to just share a little bit about your group prior to COVID, because I know it's kind of different right now. Just walk us through what a normal life group meeting would be for your group and how you guys kind of structured things.
Sure. Well, our life group has always intentionally been... family inclusive. So we have families with infants, and at this point, families, I think, with kids as old as 15, I think is our oldest at this point. But at other times, there have been college age children, depending on what families we've had as a part as well. So that's always been our intention from the beginning to do that, to have the kids involved, not just present, but involved, because I think that oftentimes, if we're not careful in church ministry, what can happen is the kids are in their own section and the parents are in their own section, and there isn't a lot of ability for the kids to see how their parents interact and, quote, do church or do the one another's. So Life Group provides that opportunity for the families, at least the way that we've structured ours, to be able to do that. What that looks like, we get together, we generally have a time of eating a little bit of food together and just fellowshipping. And then we'll have a teaching time and a prayer time. That teaching time, we try to gear towards including kids. So whether that's just reading verses, sometimes we've done different family projects where it's like, okay, take this verse and you as a family draw a picture or do something that that illustrates it. And then one of the other things that we've tried to do is to give the dads in our group and the men in our group the opportunity to teach. One, I think that helps develop skills that are helpful. Two, it allows the children of those fathers to see their dads leading and to see them, you know, taking an active role in teaching and leading. And that can be done in many ways, but I think that that is a good opportunity for the men. So that's what we've done in our group, and kind of in a nutshell how that works.
Sure. So do you have a life verse or favorite passage of scripture, or maybe a couple of them that just really, you know, you base your life on or just really important to you?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think sometimes my life verse seems to be constantly changing depending on what it is that God's working in me on at the time. And so it kind of, so I would say right now, the verse that I am coming back to over and over again is Galatians 5:22, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The reason that I keep coming back to, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. I'm going to lose track. Faithfulness, self-control. I think I got them out of order and I missed one.
You're close.
But the reason I keep coming back to that is because, as obvious as it is, or should be, when I recognize that one of those, I am struggling in one of those areas, the question, I guess maybe I should go back and say that in my life, I often wonder, am I Spirit-filled? Am I living by the Spirit? Am I being controlled by the Holy Spirit, or am I doing my own thing? Well, the easiest way for me to check that is to look at what my attitude and my heart is, and am I being loving, and am I being patient? Am I being gentle? Am I having self-control? You know, and if I can say yes in on those things, then I know that I'm being Spirit-filled. And, you know, how convicting it is when I realize, oh my goodness, how unloving was that response, or I was so impatient with my kids, or, and I realize that I'm on the throne and not God. And so that's been something that recently I've been working through. And honestly, it was something that not too long ago we worked through as a life group. And I've just kind of continued to hang on to that and really be thinking through that. I'd say the other one that maybe if I had a life verse, something that I have tended to go back to over and over would be 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And I've always kind of had an interest and a desire in kind of about apologetics or understanding my faith and knowing why I believe what I believe and being able to share that with others. Part of that, though, in that verse is kind of our motivation for why we do it, not just how we do it, like with gentleness and respect, which I think is important, but our motivation for doing it is the beginning, right? There, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. So it isn't just because I want to be right. It isn't just because I want to prove to others that I'm not an idiot or that I'm not a religious wacko and this stuff does make sense. It's because Christ the Lord is holy, and he deserves our worship, and he deserves, he's all encompassing in all of life. And if I understand that, and if I can communicate that to others in a way that they understand that, God is glorified, God is able to receive the worship that he deserves from me and from others, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great stuff. Appreciate you sharing that. Last question I'll ask you is this. During this COVID-19 season, a time that has affected you more than most, both personally and professionally as a medical doctor, what are some areas that the Lord has really worked and taught you in during this season?
Well, I would say maybe one of the first thing would be in relationship to church itself. I shared this, I think, at a communion service when we first came back, that like most things in life, sometimes we don't realize what we have until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say maybe to some degree in my own heart, and you know, this is just, I'm almost ashamed to say it, but it's just the reality that in regard to church pre-COVID, I think I had become slightly calloused even to the need, the importance, the goodness of being a part of church, to the point where I knew intellectually it was good and it was necessary, but to some degree, the going to church, going through the motions, like, yes, we got to go, oh, yes, we're going to do this, became, you know, something that I was doing rather than something that I was enjoying and really sensing the need, the deep, deep need for it. So that's something that God's been showing me as an area that I need to grow in. The other related to that was, you know, it was that to some degree when we were home, it was a whole lot more convenient.
Mm-hmm.
It was convenient to be at home. It was less stressful. You know, the idea of everybody having to get up, get ready, let's get in the car, let's get there. Let's hope we get there before the first song starts so people aren't looking at us. And let's put on our smiley faces because everything's all fine and good in our home. And, you know, it was nice to just, you know what? I can get up, I can relax, I can sit down on the couch. I don't have to worry about how I look, how anybody looks. It was very, very convenient. And so it was easy to look at the church then and say, see, it's the church's problem, because if I didn't have to get myself ready and go to church, I wouldn't have all the stress in my life. And then God had to really help me to see that I was looking at it all wrong, and that the reality was that the problem was me and my heart, as it always is. And so now, as a family, we've just committed to, you know what, we need to prepare ourselves for Sunday morning. And that means, you know what, not watching a football game that goes too late, maybe.
You're getting personal now, Matt.
You know, not staying up and watching a movie with my wife and, you know, because the kids are finally in bed and it's a night I don't have to get up early and go to work or something. It means making sure that we get up in time so that we can take time as our family has a you know, one of our traditions or habits on Sunday morning is to try to have our own Bible time where we're kind of working through some of the Old Testament and having time to do that, having time to sit down and eat, having time to get ourselves all ready and not feeling the rush. And some of that is just in preparedness and mm-hmm. how much we take the time to set aside Sunday to make it a day that is holy or set apart. So God's working on us, on me and in our family in that way too.
Well, Matt, again, we appreciate you joining us for another podcast. And just encouraged to hear more of your story and how the Lord is working in and through you. Again, we thank you all for listening and joining us for this podcast, and we look forward to sharing with you again soon. Hope you have a great week.